expresses himself in various ways. He gives attention to his appearance, revealing his sense of style and fashion. He chooses his friends according to common interest, sharing particular likes and dislikes. Others know him according to his attitude and opinion, revealing his views concerning, well, just about anything and everything. To avoid confusion and misunderstanding, we recognize the value of the art of communication. This involves our choice of words. We may think that we have something to say, but of equal importance is how we say it. All of us have attended lectures, meetings, workshops, or seminars. Now, some of these may have been work-related or had to do with our position serving on a board of an organization. It may have been a presentation related to a hobby or a pastime. Whatever the reason, we found us sitting with a group of people listening to a speaker or a lecturer. Now, what we hear, it may be accurate and helpful information, something we can even use in our line of work. Perhaps the gathering was of a more personal nature, relating to that hobby or favorite pastime. Maybe we were interested in a particular subject, and we simply wanted to know more about it. The avenue for learning is extensive, offering many opportunities for growth and advancement. Therefore, we focus on our intent and purpose. Perhaps it is a study of ancient history, art appreciation, or financial advice considering retirement. During the course of instruction, we may learn a great deal, expanding our awareness and understanding, leaving us with broader appreciation and comprehension. Now, as is our habit, we want to determine how well we have done. In our time of reflection, we contemplate the role the speaker played in our ability to grasp the material. We judged his or her ability to teach and to instruct. Certain it had an impact on our capacity to learn. We admit that some of the speakers were more proficient than others. Some were rather boring, while others were lively and vibrant in their presentation. Some were passionate and animated, while others were more robotic and mechanical. And we wondered why. What made the difference? The art of communication involves not only the words we choose, but what did we consider in choosing them? This leads to the work of thought. Much of what we do involves our ability to think, to make deductions, assuming something to be so. Thinking in a particular way, we choose the words that match our conclusions. While this is true of the speaker and the lecturer, it is also true for all of us in our conversations with one another. What is our method of conversing with our fellow man? Do we talk with them? Do we talk at them, above them, or beneath them? The method we choose will surely determine the response that we get. The thing is this, once our words slip out of our mouths, they are gone, and we cannot get them back. We must also ask, what was the thought that allowed them to escape in that way? Was the intent to harm or to heal, to inspire or condemn? The art of communication, it can be tricky, However, the law that governs it is sure and certain. We have heard it said that we should think before we act. Words reflect the quality of our thoughts. But we have also read that our actions speak louder than our words. Now, when we hear this, it would seem that our actions take precedence over our words. And since words rely on our thoughts, we can also conclude that our actions are greater than not only our words, but also our thoughts. If this is so, then what is the true motivating force behind what we do? If not driven by words and thoughts, then what moves us to do what we do? What activity is there beyond words and thoughts? When we study the presentation of those speakers and the lecturers, we notice that the effective presenter was involved in his or her subject, alive and energetic, in ways that went way beyond the presentation. There was passion in their voice. They obviously cared a great deal about their topic. It was near and dear to them, moving them with emotion and reaction. This is an activity of our inner nature. The movement of inner being does not require mental stimulation, nor does it depend on words to describe it. It simply does not know of these things. Activity of inner being has a deeper substance of guidance and direction, a more profound source of wisdom and knowledge that determines its motivation and its movement. The nature of inner being is divine. It is of God. Divine wisdom reveals beyond what it is we think we know. The true teacher resides in the heart and the soul of man. Some call it the Master. Others refer to it as the Lord. The Bible reveals in this way, I will teach you in the way in which you should go. The law that governs the revelation of inner being is sure and certain. We can trust it. We can rely on it. When we rise above words and thoughts, we rise above the human mind. To hear the voice of the Master, we must give no thought. And remember, when we give no thought, there will be no words to express it, no words to convey harm or condemnation. In the absence of thought, divine wisdom guides and directs. However, exactly what is the wisdom of divine being, and how do we find it? Jesus speaks of it in this way. In the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ, chapter 40, we read, Now in the early morning, Jesus came to teach and to heal. A light not comprehended shone about, as though some mighty spirit overshadowed him. Now Imagus noticed this and asked him privately to tell him from whence his wisdom came and what the meaning of the light. And Jesus said, There is a silence where the soul may meet its God, and there the fount of wisdom is, and all who enter are immersed in light and filled with wisdom, love, and power. Next the Magus said, Tell me about this light, that I may go and there abide. And Jesus said, The silence is not circumscribed, is not a place closed in with wall or rocky steeps, nor guarded by the sword of man. Men carry with them all the time the secret place where they may meet their God. It matters not where men abide, on mountaintop, in deepest vale, in marts of trade, or in the quiet home. They may at once, at any time, fling wide the door and find the silence, find the house of God. It is within the soul. Jesus continues, one may not be so disturbed by noise of this business and the words and thoughts of men. If he goes all alone into the valley or the mountain pass, and when life's heavy load is pressing hard, it is far better to go out and seek a quiet place to pray and meditate. The silence is the kingdom of the soul, which is not seen by human eyes. Now, when in the silence, phantom forms may flit before the mind, but they are subservient to the will. The master soul may speak, and they are gone. If you would find this silence of the soul, you must yourself prepare the way. None but the pure in heart may enter in. Now, in explaining wisdom, Jesus also spoke of the silence. In the absence of thought, there is the silence. Many authors have written about the silence. Eco Iyer wrote a paper entitled The Eloquent Sounds of Silence. Silence is more than just a pause. It is that enchanted place where space is cleared out, time is stayed, and the horizon itself expands. In silence, we often hear that we can hear ourselves think. But what is truer to say is that in silence, we can hear ourselves not think, and so rest ourselves into a place far deeper than mere thoughts allow. I do like his description of silence. Now, there are times when we consider silence as sacred. Silence is the tribute we pay to holiness. A moment of silence is the highest honor we can pay to someone. It is the point at which the mind stops and something else takes over. Words run out when feelings rush in. A vow of silence is for holy men the highest devotional act. In these acts of remembrance, we fall silent and fall into the highest place of all. Now, let there be no confusion or misunderstanding. The world of manifestation requires a method of communication. Therefore, it requires language, and language consists of words. It is our method of exchange and conversation, a way for others to hear us and our way of hearing others. The world is a place of noise and sound. This is its way of getting our attention. There are times when it seems that the world is getting noisier and louder. Sometimes we are the ones responsible for the chatter and the racket. At other times, other individuals assume this role. Technology has its part to play. Our answering machine speaks to us, and recorded messages remind us of appointments and commitments. Even the automobiles and the subway have voices, instructing and directing us in various ways. When in our cars, we may hear this direction, go 1 mile and then turn left. And the voice from the subway car advises us to stand back, doors opening, doors closing. At airports and train stations, the public address system is the voice of information. Schools send notification to parents using their smartphones as the method of communication. With earplugs and tablets, we may assure ourselves that we will never be without sound. regardless of where we may find us. Now, we admit at times there really is a place for sound in our daily lives. For instance, there is a time for cheering and shouting at the ball game, a time for clapping and ovation at a time of celebration. There are those times when we lift our voices in song at various occasions. Even the Bible encourages us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The question is this: which voice is speaking and making the sound and the noise? What is its motivating force? Is it the voice that governs the head or the voice that governs the heart? The one we listen to is the one we will follow and obey. The voice that governs the head is the one of sound, functioning in its realm of words and thoughts. The voice that governs the heart is the still small voice of the Master. This is the one we should follow, and the reason given is this: my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so too are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I create a new heaven and a new earth. When we abide in the place of give no thought, we yield to the way of the high calling, to the ways and the thoughts that are higher than we are. And we are at peace, tranquil, and serene. In the stillness, we receive assurance in this way: you will be taught of me. I will teach you. I will give you the words to speak and the actions to take. Well, that settles intent and purpose. Lillian DeWaters expresses it in this way: one can build temples to the skies, can attain wealth, fame, name, and apparent happiness, but except he recognizes himself above his thoughts, above his body, above all conditions, he has not achieved high recognition. Since the beginning of time, mystics and holy men have advised us to seek beyond human recognition. They speak of the fallacy of sowing to the flesh. One must rise above the ways of the world. The teacher, the master within, is Christ. Christ is the motivator, the revealer, the one that aspires in the place of high consciousness. He may counsel us in this way: why do you toil so much in the field of thought and reason? Why do you labor until your head aches and your heart grows weary? Why do you do these things? Don't you know I am here? Today's lesson advises us to go beyond words and thoughts and rest in the place of give no thought. Remember, in the absence of thought, there is a realm of silence where divine wisdom reveals the way. What is the guidance of divine wisdom, and how do we make it practical in our lives? With divine wisdom in charge, we are in a state of receptivity. The voice of inner being, it may speak in the form of a whispered thought or in a song of inspiration. The answer may appear in the form of a person, a passing conversation, or perhaps in a passage in a book. Whatever the form, it is exactly what is needed, coming to us seemingly out of nowhere. Receptive to the inner voice, we also learn about us. We learn who we are and where we came from. We learn of the attributes and qualities of eternal life, whose life we are. Now, I think that all of us have had glimpses of this, that time when we knew without a doubt, that life in us is there to maintain us and sustain us. Haven't we all had moments when we felt the peace that passeth human telling and human understanding? There were no words to define it or describe it. Where did that come from? There were those moments when we were without conscious thought of any kind. When our mind was calm like a crystal lake. When our body was still without sensation. At that moment, life seemed within us and without us. In that instant, we were one with all life, and we were free. All limitations were gone. All reason had fled, retreating into their native nothingness. We were alone with God, illumined and unafraid. These glimpses may have lasted but for a moment. Nevertheless, they are ours, and we can no longer return to the old ways. It is the destiny of every man and of every woman to know them as they are in God's perfect kingdom. Let us choose this day to go often to the quiet place and be alone with God. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. In God's presence, we find comfort and solace, rest from the demands of humanhood and daily affairs. There is a sense of peace, a feeling of serenity, free of thought and mental work. As we give ourselves to the divine experience, we are one with it, allowing it to carry us to deeper and higher revelation and realization. In the silence, we touch the source of us and of all life. We are consciously one with the creative activity that formed us and sent us into expression. Words are not broad enough or powerful enough to describe what the heart and the soul receive in their moment of silence. Man is not wise enough to interpret heavenly things. Give no thought is the instruction of the Master. You will be taught of me. Turn within and you will find me. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.